Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
In Deuteronomy chapter 12, there's a passage there, verses 5 through 7. And the Lord God says, "But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all of your tribes, to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. There you shall bring your burnt offerings, including fried turkeys, your sacrifices, including putting up tents in the cold, your tithes." We didn't even collect an offering last night. "The contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." It's kind of like a comprehensive list of bring it all. Bring yourself. Bring your hands. Bring what you got. You know, isn't that what we do when we call it a pot blessing? We don't call it a potluck. And church is a pot blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, bring yourself, bring everything, bring all you've got. "There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you." And we've been blessed, amen? Wow, last night we were blessed. And if you weren't here, oh my God, you missed it. I know that things come up and things may get difficult. And I know you have inconveniences and obstacles, but last night was a great night. Truly. Loved it. But you know, we live in a world in which we have to constantly be reminded or remind ourselves of things. Things that we deem important. Things that we may just, oops, I can't forget this. Oh my God, I can't allow this to go by and without me doing something about it. And we just live in a world of lists. Do you make a list? Do you make lists? I mean, you make a grocery list, right? You don't just go in the grocery store and grab everything you want. Well, I don't know why you would do that, Sylvia, if you don't not going to cook it later, you know. My dear, you know, if you're going to grab everything, you start cooking, I'll come over. Amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But she's got it like that, you know. She goes into the market and she just grabs and takes and she don't make a list. I'm going to go shopping with you, honey. That is, if John lets me. Oh, he don't say, yeah. You know, John, I thought you were coming with me on my road show. Are you?
I'm good.
I'm good, yeah. See, now he changed his mind. Oh, my God, John. But you see, you go on the radio and you hear the top 10 hits of whenever. The top this and the list and list and lists about groceries, things to do. And you get lists. And at Christmas, when this time comes, people put together their wish list, right? And then they make a list after their wish list of Christmas. They make a list of how they're going to pay for it, right? And then New Year's comes, and then you make a list of the things that you want to accomplish because you, well, it's a repeat. You don't just write a list. You just grab the one from last year and just try it again, right? Please try again, please try again, please try again. But let me ask you something. Why do we make lists? Because we forget. We forget. Everybody always accuses me of having the gift of forgetting. And I do have it. And I love it. I forget. Yes, Jay, it's a great gift. Yes, it is, man. You see, God forgets our sins, so, right? Amen, hallelujah. But, you know, it's just, I always say, forgetting is a gift. It's just that I don't know how to use that gift very well, right? I have it, and I just don't know how to use it very well. But that's for another day, right? But we get distracted. We get distracted with things, and things happen, and that's why we make lists. It's and the easiest thing to, there's one thing that we don't make lists usually, except during Christmas. And check this out. You don't make a list of your desires and wishes and what you want. That you will never forget. You don't forget what you want, right, Brandy? You don't forget it because you want it. It's simple. I don't have to make a list. I want, no, because I know exactly what I want, Gina. It's an everyday thing. I don't have to write a list of, let me make sure I don't forget what I want. No, I don't do that. But then Christmas comes and, you know, we start organizing and prioritizing and making lists. And we ask, you know, I remember when I was a kid and you would write a letter, right, during Christmas of your wishes. And you would put it under the tree, right? And mom and dad had us put not cookies and milk under the tree. We put grass and water. Because the reindeer and the camels from the three wise men, they have to eat too. So really, we went out, cut grass and got water and put it under a tree and made sure them camels and reindeers got what they needed. Because if you know, in Hispanic culture, not every country, but for example, where I come from, we get gifts twice. You know that, right? Some of you know that already. We get gifts in Christmas because we get gifts of Christmas, just like you. But then on the 6th of January, we get gifts again for Three Wise Men Day. Because the three wise men came with gifts. Hello. So we get double. And we have to put out some grass and water for the camels. Okay? But we also put out a little list, right? And mom and dad would ask, so what do you want for Christmas? Did anybody ever ask you, what do you want for Christmas? I was going to say, nobody ever asked you? What kind of Christmas was that, right? But you get asked, what do you want for Christmas? And the idea is that your parents or the person wants to know what you want. They want you to, well, you know, make a list. And people make lists. They say, well, you know, of course, Santa makes lists, right? And you're on the naughty list or not or what. But, you know, there's another one that's most important list is God's list. Well, he writes the names of the ones that are in the book of life. If your name not on there, I don't care if your name is on Santa's list. You ain't getting the real gift, right? But you make lists. I make lists. Everybody makes lists, right? And we do that in order to know people's desires. But let me ask you something. There's nothing wrong with making lists, but let me ask you something. Have you ever made a list of the things you are thankful for? We don't do that very often, but some of you may have. Have you ever made a list and said, God, I'm going to sit down, and instead of writing a list of what I want, I'm going to make a list of what I am actually thankful for. Here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to give you a list. How about that? And maybe you can take this list during this Thanksgiving and share it with your family and use it as a list of things. And this is not a comprehensive list. It doesn't include every single blessing and gift that God has given us, but at least it gives you something to start with. And today I'm going to give you 9 things that you really, really could put on your list to be thankful in this season. And there's nothing wrong with asking. Now, don't get me wrong. You can make a list and you can ask God. As a matter of fact, he invites you to make a list and ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus said, ask and you shall be given, right? Seek and you will find. Call or knock and it shall be opened. And then he says, what man is there among you whom his son asks for a loaf and will give him a stone? You wouldn't do that to your children, I hope, even though some of us should be getting stoned so we don't eat so much bread. But the reality is that even us who are sinners and we do, and we're so broken, we still give good gifts. You know, what man, if a child asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? Come on. But even you being not so good, Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more our Father or your Father in heaven will give you the things that you will ask. All the way to 11. You know, how much more the Father who is in the heavens will give you things as you ask. It's amazing. So, yeah, we can make a list of what we want, but let's think about a list of things that we are thankful for. And we can start right here. I am thankful for, number one, love without limits. The love of God has no limits. The love of God has no limits. And when you think about it, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? The world. You know, that's a lot of people. I'm trying to love 60 people and it's hard. Well, maybe even 70. How many are here? Maybe you're covered, right? But you think about it. How many people do you truly love? You know, I'm not talking about, you know, we do this, right? And sometimes we meet people and we know that they're Christians and everything. And in a very little time, you're like, love you, man, brother. And you're like, really, you love me? Well, won't you give up your son for me? Won't you give something up for me, right? You think about it, love and expression. We can say it, and we may start feeling it, but it needs to be expressed in some way. Limitless is the love of God. God's love has no limit. There is not one person in this whole wide world that has ever existed from Adam and Eve all the way through today that can claim that God did not love them. They can claim it, but it's not true. God has loved every single human he has created. The problem is, do we love him back, right? But God's love extends. And not only he loves the whole world, everyone, he gave to all the opportunity to experience this love. He is so generous. His love is so generous. It has no limits that he gives the best of himself. Oh my God, we ought to be thankful. We need to put that on our list. His limitless love is one thing that I'm thankful for. And his love has a purpose. It's not just something that he gives just because. It has a purpose behind it. And the purpose is a relationship eternally with you. Wow, that's amazing. He'll never divorce you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. Once you come into him and you accept his love, that's it. No limit to it. Forever and ever and ever. Have you ever tried to measure how much God loves you? It's unbelievable, right? It's like they say, right? When he says, I love you, he says, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms on a cross. That's how much he loves us. No limit. Number two, forgiveness without questioning. That's what I was talking about, Jay. Right? God says that he is going to forgive your sins where he's not going to what? Remember them, right? He's not going to remember them. So forgetting is a gift, man. God knows how to use it. I don't. But there's a few verses that I want to show you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sin, what happens? If you confess your sins, he is what? Faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he is faithful. He will always forgive a contrite heart. But he also does it in righteousness because he is righteous. And not only that, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He does the whole package, the whole work. He doesn't question. And Psalm 86 in verse 5 says, for you, Lord, are what? Good. God is good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. You call upon him, he's got forgiveness for you too. Oh my God, this is amazing. Forgiveness is such a gift. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. All of these verses are listed on your little paper. You're welcome, brother. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have what? Compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly what? Pardon, forgive, abundantly. How many of you abundantly forgive? Well, sometimes I struggle with that. God doesn't have a struggle with that. He abundantly forgives. Look at Isaiah 43:25. Oh man, we got a lot of verses today, but check this out. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not what? Remember your sins. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because I have a problem. I want to forget them, and it's hard. You see, that's one thing sometimes I can't forget, because there's someone who's always reminding me of my sin. Actually, there's three people. I'm not looking at him. Don't worry. Number one is people. Number two, Satan. And there's one main character that always reminds me of my sin. I look at him in the mirror every day. It's me. I'm reminded of my sin like that. Oh my God. Micah chapter 7 verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you? No one. Who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Man, this is a great thing to know. Aren't you thankful for this? Put that on your list. Oh my God. And share it with somebody else. It's amazing. A young Christian was working at a job site in construction, and then he noticed that one of his tools, a prized tool, was missing. Well, as he was looking around, he saw his tool on inside somebody else's tool bag, another worker. You know, he was a little disconcerted, but he said, you know what, I'm going to go talk to him. And he went to the guy and said, I see you have one of my tools, but you know what? You can keep it if you need it. It's okay. Now, of course, the guy was like, oh, no. Oh, my God. And during the next weeks, you know, the thief was trying to bring the tool back and say, you know, here it is, here it is, here it is. He kept saying, no, it's okay. It's all right. And the guy even tried to slip money into his coat to pay him back for the tool, and he wouldn't take it. They became such good friends. And when they asked the thief why, he said, I just couldn't stand being forgiven. You know, he could not believe that he would forgive him. He just couldn't live with forgiveness. Can you imagine that? Can you live with forgiveness? Can you forgive yourself, please? God has forgiven you. You need to live with that. You don't have to live questioning his forgiveness. He forgives you. And you can live assured that God, when he forgives, he puts it away. And not only that, like this man, he forgives you because he wants to be your friend. His forgiveness is not questionable. You don't have to question that. His promise is without waiver. You know, when he promises, he complies. He does say, I'm going to do this, and he does it. You know, Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10 and 11. Here's the verses that we hear a lot. Be still and know that I am God, right? Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And where's, that's that 46, oh yeah. Calling, that's not it. Where did I go? Oh my God. Well, anyway, what I wanted to say is, when it's Psalm 46, I'm thinking Isaiah, but it's Psalm 46, 10. I'm sorry, guys, it's my fault. Where it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, be still, know that I'm God. I will do what I'm going to do and you don't have to worry about it. He promises and he fulfills. You don't have to question his promises because his promises are without waiver. You know, his promises are unbreakable, period. He's made it like that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what? Faithful. Full of faith. Faithful in himself, because he will comply. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debtor? That's not it. Oh my God, what am I doing? I'm going to look for that because I'm writing numbers bad over here. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to do that to you and to myself. It's 2 Corinthians 1:20. My goodness. There you go. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many are the promises of God in him, they are what? Yes. I don't know if you ever heard people say that, but it is in the Bible. It's not just people saying that. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore, also, though him through him is our amen to the glory of God and through us. You can say amen to every single promise of God because his promises are always what? Yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You don't have to worry. Everything that he says and he promises, he will do. He always complies with his promises. He always fulfills. He's not like you and me. So you can put that on your list and say, thank you, God, for all your promises. Not only that, you can be thankful for the blessings without number. If I ask you to name or actually number your blessings, You don't have enough fingers or toes altogether to be able to count them, of course. You know that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 to 6. God speaks to his people and lets them know, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless everything. Check this out. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Basically, I want to bless you no matter where you are, where you're from. Simple. Blessed shall you be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. You know what this is? He's going to bless your work. He's going to bless your kids. He's going to bless your family. He's going to bless all of you. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. He's going to even bless your kitchen. Amen. I come over. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading. You know, he's going to bless everything. He's going to bless you. He's not going to leave you behind. He's going to do all kinds of stuff. Give me verse 6 here. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. From birth to death, he will bless you. You believe that? Well, put it on your list and be thankful. Tell somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless other people. Let them know how much God will bless them. Not only he's going to bless you, he's going to give you mercy. Oh, my God, I thank him for mercy. We need mercy so badly. And his mercy is without measure. You just cannot measure it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, the Lord's loving kindness. Loving kindness in the Old Testament is the same as mercy, okay? Indeed, never cease. Your mercies never cease. For his compassion never fails. Never, never. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. He is faithful. He's so great. His mercies are new every day. I'm so glad because I don't want old mercies. I want new mercy every day because I need it every day, right? Renewed mercy in my life. There's a psalm. Psalm 103, starting in verse 10. This, of course, the psalms are songs, but this is a particular song that I carry in my heart and for many, many years. And these verses I know by heart in Spanish, but in English, I promise you, I can assure you, I don't. But starting in verse 10, he says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. What a beautiful thing to know. As far as the east is from the west, he throws our sin far, far away. What great mercy is the mercy of God. I read a story of a man in a little town called Wishaw. Don't know where it is. But he lived a good Christian life and everybody knew him. And he became a lawyer and then he became a judge. He became the judge of the town. And one morning, before his court came one of his childhood friends who had committed a really bad offense. And of course, everybody thought, well, most likely he's going to do like that judge in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. Have you ever seen him on YouTube? You never seen him? That really good judge? Oh, my God. Has anybody ever seen him? You see them? If I ever had to go to court, I want to go to court in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island, and see this judge. I want to go kiss him and hug him. Yeah, he's just such a sweet man. And he practices mercy and justice in a way that, wow, it's amazing. You got to go check him out. I can't remember his name. But if you go, you know, the judge, Providence, Rhode Island, you'll find him on YouTube. This man is famous. It's amazing. But this, let me tell you about this other judge I was telling you about. Well, his good friend comes to the court, and he presents himself, and I was like, yeah, he's going to do that. He's going to be merciful. He's probably going to give him a lenient thing or something. Well, he fined him the maximum amount that would be allowed for his penalty, for his sin. And everybody was like, what in the world just happened? And right after he hit the gavel, he went and walked downstairs to the court officer, and he paid to fine himself for his best friend. You see, this is very amazing, because that's exactly what Jesus has done for us, right? In his mercy. He has declared us, without him, guilty as charged. And the penalty is the worst you can ever have. Eternal death. But yet he said, but don't worry. You've been condemned. You're guilty. But I'm going to go to the court officer, and I'm going to pay for your fine myself. Isn't that amazing? So let's not forget. Let's not ever forget how wonderful the mercy of God is. Let's think about his faithfulness. We've been talking about his faithfulness. Okay, so he's faithful without failing. All right? Faithfulness without failing. That's another thing you can add to your Thanksgiving list. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. He keeps his promises. He keeps his word. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. You know what? A thousand generations. Can you think about that? You can write that on your list. He is faithful. He has made a covenant with me. He's not going to fail. He's not going to forget. He's always going to be there. A school teacher named Everett Storms, he decided, he's heard so many numbers on the promises of God that, you know, people say, well, in the Bible, there's 30,000 promises. Then others say 6,000, others say 3,000. And he just couldn't take it anymore. And he had read the Bible already 26 times in his life. So he was trying to read it for the 27th time. And what he did is like, I'm going to read from Genesis to Revelation, looking for every single promise that I can find to finally get a number on it. And he found this. He says, including all the promises that God has made to man, God promising man, there's 7,487. Okay? Now, promises from one man to another. Okay, so God has promised in his word 7,487 promises to people. Then from a man to man, people to people, 991 promises. Okay? Now, if you keep counting, then you have promises from God the Father to God the Son. Two promises. Just two. But two. Okay? And then from man to God, man promising God, there's 290 promises in the Bible. And then there is 9 promises pretty much made by someone you don't want anything from, Satan. So he counted a total of 8,810 promises. 8,810. That's what he counted. You know what? And this is pretty curious. I thought about it. You know, I thrive looking at these statistics and numbers and investigations and research. I love reading about this stuff. But you see, the curious thing or the interesting thing, it's not about how many promises God has made. The interesting thing is how many of them he has already complied with. And the others are yes and amen, so I don't have to worry. And then you want to look at another number. How many of these promises has he ever failed on? If you want to count, be my guest. None, of course. You see, if we count, and then he says, thousands of generations later. You know, you can think about it. 1,000 years from now, if we get there, in the future, even your great, 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 great grandchildren, they can still say the same thing. He has not failed one, and he's fulfilled one by one all that he has said. That's amazing. So keep it on your list. Now another one. Let's go to the last three. Redemption without retraction. You know, have you ever bought anything and wanted to return it? Some people actually do that for a living. They buy stuff, they wear it, take it back. Buy stuff, wear it, take it back. Buy stuff, wear it, take it back. Some people just can't make decisions. It's hard for them to make decisions. And they'll buy stuff, and then they'll return it because they thought they wanted it, now they don't want it. Well, they put it on at the store, it looked good, But then when they came home, it doesn't look so good. Because the mirrors at the store are different from the mirrors you have at home. Have you figured that out yet? Oh, my God. And if you go to the riverfront, you pay $20 parking every time you go. So you spend $40 buying something and then returning it. I know. Then you got to eat or do something, spend some money in order to get validated. And you still pay, like, that's, I'm going to be grateful, God. Thank you, Lord, for the riverfront. You get what I'm saying? You see, you buy stuff and then you don't want it. Can you imagine God saying, you know, I paid for this guy named John. And I was so excited. But now it's like, I want to return him. I don't want him. What would you say about that, John, now, huh? Got your back. Can you imagine that? God coming at you and saying, you know what? Everything was pretty cool, but I don't know, Rosa. I'm just going to take you back, okay? Can you imagine if God kept the receipt? But you see, God redeemed you. He paid for you, and he redeems with no retraction. I want you to know that. John chapter 5, verse 24. I want you to look at this for a second. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Truly, 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 for reals. You don't have to doubt this. If you believe, you have eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. I already bought you. I paid for you. You're not going to be deceived. You're not going to be left out. The Bible says in different places, we have been purchased. We have been bought with a price. And the price was the highest price anybody could ever pay for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 6 and verse 40. Once again, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. You see, he's got you. He's already paid for you. He's even praying in John chapter 17 and says, so that those who have you given me, I will not lose not one of them. They're in my hands. We paid for them. We buy them. We keep them. Man, I'm so glad he purchased me, because I was sitting on that stand with no value, no worth, and nothing to offer. But he saw something in me. Aren't you glad that he redeemed you? It's amazing, right? Now, the thing is, that means then don't be fooled by people who say, well, you know, we'll pay for all of it here on earth before we go. You don't have to pay for anything on this earth. If you don't owe God because he already paid for your sin, then you don't have to pay anyone or anything or even God for your sin, because you don't have enough to pay. He doesn't want you to pay him back. He wants you to love him back. It's a big difference, right? What is this thing that we think that we have to pay? I don't have to pay for anything on this earth. Jesus Christ already paid. When I think that I have to pay, when I think that I have to do this, and I have to endure these things so that I may please God, then I'm saying what Jesus went through is not enough. I'm being really ungrateful instead of grateful for what God has done. You know, I think you've heard this story, and there might be even songs about it. I know there's a song in Spanish that is beautiful about this, but the little boy who in the garage built a little boat. He built a little boat, and he was so excited. He took it out to the lake, and he made it sail, and he was so happy looking at his little boat going everywhere. All of a sudden, the wind took it, and it kept going and going and going. Got away from him, and he lost it. Well, he was very sad. He's like, you know, I love my little boat. It was so cool. But then one day he was walking down the street and he looks at a little store and they have it on display for sale. And he's like, that's my boat. So he goes inside and he tells the owner of the store, excuse me, sir, that boat you have on the up there on display, that's my boat. He's like, no, it is not. He's like, yes, it is. I built it myself. He's like, well, I'm sorry. It's on display. It's mine. And if you want it, you have to pay for it. You say, but that's not fair. Because I mean, sorry, kid. I don't know if you made it or not or what, but this is my boat now. You have to pay for it. So the kid went home, and he just went everywhere looking for every single coin and all the money he could gather. Finally, he went to the store, and he bought the little boat back. And he just looked at it, mesmerized, and he said, my boat. And then he said, this is my boat. It's twice my boat because I made it, and I also paid for it. You see, that's exactly what God has done for you and me. He made you. Then he paid for you. That's how much he loves you. Man, you can take that to the bank. You can put that on your list, right? You see, it's salvation without merit. What an amazing thing is to know that he had saved us without merit. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Yet he saved us. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writes, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, what happened? Check this out. He saved us. When God appeared on earth, he came to what? To save us. He appears, he saves us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's done. Look at verse 7. Who he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's what he's done. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We even inherit. We're part of his will. We're in his will. According to his riches and glory, we will inherit from him. That's how much he does. When he appeared, he came to save. Jesus said, I didn't come here to be served, but to serve and to seek what was lost. That's what he did. Because of his goodness, because of his love, because of his righteousness, because of his kindness and his mercy. There's nothing I've done. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do all together to actually merit, to actually deserve the salvation that he has worked for us. And we all need to be saved, and we all know that around here, I think. We've said it too many times. We're condemned to eternal damnation because of our sin. But look at, and we need to comprehend the magnitude of what God has done and what he has done in his goodness for us in saving us. And last but not least, grace without guilt. Grace without guilt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, famous verses. Many people have heard this and know it by heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what happens? He is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. What a wonderful thing. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is what God has done. I'm not going to take into account what you've done. I'm going to take into account what my son has done for you. Man, I'm so glad that on my account, when God looks at my account, he sees not what I've done, but what Jesus has done. Man, I better be thankful, and I better put that on my list. And it better stay on my list, because I don't have to carry the guilt. I don't have to carry the guilt. I can be free from guilt because Jesus paid the price. You see, I don't have to carry the guilt of the past or the present. I don't have to do that. A pastor, he had made some bad decisions and he had sinned very badly. And even though he had confessed his sin, he never felt forgiven. Have you ever felt like that when you have committed a sin and people have said, we forgive you or anything, but you just don't feel forgiven? So he's carrying a lot of guilt around because people will come at him. And he says that there was a lady in church. You know, in every church, there's this type of person. Pastor, let me tell you something. God has been speaking to my heart. Let me tell you about you. I get scared when people say that to me. And I do have them, and they say that to me.
It's amazing. And I'm so glad that God speaks to people about me. That means I'm important to God, right? It gives me kind of like, hey, he must really care for me, right? That he's even recruiting all the people trying to get a message to me, right? But sometimes it just gets a little weird, especially for this pastor, because he had been, he had failed and he was not feeling very good. And she kept saying, God spoke to me. And he said, you know what? If God is speaking to you, would you please ask him what I did 20 years ago? And she said, you know what? I will pray and I will ask God what you did 20 years ago. And she came back about a week later. And the pastor just was testing her because he was so tired of hearing from her. And he said, hey, did you pray to God? Did he tell you what I did 20 years ago? As a matter of fact, I did pray for you, pastor. And I did ask God what you did 20 years ago. And guess what? He answered. He just turned back like, uh-oh. And what did he say? He said he doesn't remember anymore. See, that's what God does. In other words, you don't have to carry the guilt anymore. And if God doesn't remember, why do we keep reminding ourselves? God has made us new creatures, so you can put that on your list, right? He doesn't count your sin, he counts you in. That's a big difference. He doesn't count your sin, he counts you in. What a wonderful and amazing grace. Grace, grace, grace. You heard about the man who was dying, and he passed away, and they say that he got up to the pearly gates where St. Peter was, right? Right at the gate. You know, Peter's going to be at the gate, right? Right? And the man comes up to Peter and says, hey, what do I have to do to get in? He's like, well, this is very simple. I'll ask you a few questions, and you tell me the answers, and according to your answers, you get points, and if you get 100 points, then you get in. And he's like, really? Okay, so what are the questions? He's like, I tell you what, it's very simple. I don't even have to ask questions. You just tell me what you did in your life, and I'll tell you how many points you get for it. And that's how you get. He's like, really? Well, my wife, I was faithful to her for 50 years. We were married until I died in 50 years. He's like, you get 3 points. He's like, what? 3 points? That was 50 years. He's like, that's all you get. You need 100, so just keep going. He's like, oh, my Lord. Well, let me see. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, I made it a point to go to church. It was like every Sunday on the dot, I was there. I was always at the church. I was always faithful to that. He's like, well, okay, you get 5 points. 5 points? That's only 8. He's like, you need 92 more. Just give me some stuff. Tell me something. Maybe you'll get there. He's like, oh, no. He's like, I started thinking. He's like, no, hold on 1 second. I know this is a good one. Actually, I was the initiator at our church of a soup kitchen, and we've served thousands of meals out in the streets in the city. And he said, well, that's a pretty good one. You get 5 more points. He's like, what, 5 points? There's no way I could get there. He's like, you want to keep trying? He's like, man, only by the grace of God I get in there. 100 points. You may come in. Grace. It's grace. It's not anything else. It's not anything else. So I want you to get your list together. I gave it to you. Maybe you can add a bunch more. Love, forgiveness, promises, blessings, mercy, faithfulness, redemption, salvation, and grace. Every single one of those should be in our Thanksgiving list. Not just this week, but each and every day. Because that's what he's done for you and me.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.